The text for our message today is the Gospel reading, particularly verses 25, 26, and 27 of chapter 24. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In the name of Jesus Christ, my fellow redeemed. Two Sundays ago, Christians celebrated Easter Vigil, Easter sunrise, Easter communion services, and still today the white pyramids, Bible readings, and Alleluia hymns all tell us that we're still in the afterglow of that Easter Sunday 2 weeks ago. And no wonder, the resurrection of Jesus from death to life, that's the resurrection. And sometimes I think we might forget that. That has changed everything for our world, hasn't it? We don't want to forget it. Easter gives a whole new outlook on life. As a matter of fact, we heard again today Apostle Peter in his epistle that he sent, a letter that he sent to the new struggling church of Christians in that early day, announced these words, "Praise God, He has given us new birth into a living hope," underscore hope, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him," underscore believe, "and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy," underscore joy. Easter arrived with lightning white angels opening the tomb on that morning, and they were saying, "He is not here. What did you expect?" In other words, but they could tell the truth and the fact of the resurrection. And that light of Christ's resurrection continues today, 2 weeks later, and on into our future, because Easter promises hope and faith and joy as you go, just as Peter announces in his letter for us today. Every Sunday is Easter. Your life is Easter. Praise God, we still live in the Easter afterglow. Let's talk about blurred vision. Our trouble is that we know the story of Easter too well. In Holy Week, we watch the drama of His crucifixion, but we know how it's going to turn out. So if we feel any excitement, it doesn't last. If only we could step on the stage and put ourselves in the story, in the place of those friends and disciples of Jesus who didn't know how it would turn out. We could tell them, here's what we've learned. He's going to live again. And He's going to bring us with Him to live forever. Now, in our imagination, let's join those two disciples as they leave the city by the western gate and head out northward up the Roman highway, which is well paved. How could we be such fools, they were asking themselves. He seemed like the promised Messiah. We wanted to believe it. But now He's dead. And they were sad because that's what they really believed. The whole thing was dark and foggy in their memory as they walked those 7 miles, which included a nice, luscious valley spreading out before a distant village called Emmaus on a hilltop. They kept walking. Suddenly, as they're walking, a man strides alongside and he asks, "What are you talking about?" They thought he was a tourist. Of course, it was Jesus. But St. Luke reports they were kept from recognizing him. Interesting, isn't it? What kind of a body did he have? In his resurrection body, his appearance seems to have been different somehow. Remember Mary? How she had mistaken him in the garden for the gardener? Remember also later that evening back in Jerusalem, the disciples in the upper room thought he was a ghost. Here on the highway to Emmaus, two disciples were right at his side, but they could not recognize their Savior. They were kept from recognizing him. Blurred vision. Can you see yourself in that picture? These two men on the Emmaus Highway are like the rest of us in our spiritual blindness, if we think about it. The scene is a microcosm of all humanity, isn't it? Steadily moving down the interstate of life. Christ is alive and present in all His victorious power. And yet too many people are not recognizing Him. Don't get me wrong. We celebrate the Easter resurrection in a big way, don't we? We want to make people believe. We want to believe it ourselves. Easter services, concerts, pilgrimages, Easter egg hunts, parades, television extravaganzas, all of them surround what we want to believe. Christ is risen, all right. But let's admit it. Often He's like a stranger to us and we hardly recognize Him. We need to be honest with ourselves and with our Lord and say, Lord, too often we don't really see You, at least not very well. They were kept from recognizing Him, St. Luke writes. Something blurred their vision, and Jesus nailed it. How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. If only they had taken the Bible seriously. After all, the prophets had been preaching and foretelling about the Messiah for centuries. He will suffer and die, be crucified like a common criminal, as a sacrifice for the sins of all the world, all people. But God will raise him again, they said. They preached that. If only the disciples believed God's word. These two men did not recognize the risen Christ because they were not spiritually ready. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Christ appears only to the eyes of faith. Faith has a big part in celebrating Easter. Like the two men, our poverty of faith keeps us from recognizing Jesus Christ. As we come to His sacrament of forgiveness today, let's also confess the shortness in our faith. Let's confess today, for many of us, our fluttering faith is not very deep. It's not much deeper than just seeing prosperity as a sign of God's blessing. That's our religion. Or seeing suffering as His judgment upon us and on evil. That's our extent of our faith. If we had more faith, we would remember Jesus' agony on the cross first and know that wherever there is suffering, Christ is there. And then our suffering can enter into His suffering along with His resurrection. Lord, we say today, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us in our blurred vision and increase our faith. And He does that with His word and the sacrament. Something else besides our poverty of faith keeps us from recognizing Jesus, and that's our own stubborn refusal. Let's admit that too. Too many of us are afraid to get too close to Him. You know, to get too involved or too committed. Like the proverbial ostriches with our heads in the sand, we know that Christ rose to life, but we don't want to, as we say in our liturgy, love Him with our whole heart. It's easier just to be kept from recognizing Him, isn't it? As we travel the interstate of life. And again we plead, Lord, forgive us, renew us, and lead us. What a comfort to hear again those beautiful words as we heard this morning. God has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake, He forgives you all those sins. Now let's talk about eyes wide open. at the table there, Jesus opened the eyes of His disciples to see Him and who He is. So He also opens our eyes. He opens our eyes, for example, to kindness. Perhaps with a painting. Someone who could give us a Christian painting like the Seven Acts of Charity. Maybe you've seen that one. Generous people giving food and clothing to people in need. A boy giving a drink of water to a thirsty man. A homeowner offering hospitality to a stranger. Someone knocking on the door of a prison. An old gentleman visiting with a sick friend. That painting reminds me of Jesus' own parable. Parable of the Last Judgment. You know, in that parable, He teaches us in Matthew 25 that kindness we show to others, we actually show to Christ Himself. In other words, if we really have eyes of faith and they're wide open, we will see our risen Savior all around us. Look around. You know what I mean? We'll see His face in the faces of African families who must flee from genocidal civil war every day. We'll hear His voice in the screams of innocent Middle East children when they're surprised by bombs, suicide bombs. We'll see Jesus in them. We'll see His hands in the hands of the elderly, the addicts, the prostitutes, in spite of their shortcomings and sins. When the Christ in us reaches out to the Christ in other people, our fellow human being, only then will we truly have our eyes wide open and recognize Him, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He opens our eyes to kindness, but He also opens our eyes to new hope. With Christ at their side, opening their minds to the Old Testament Scriptures, these two disciples felt their hearts burning. Have you ever wondered what that sensation must be like? I just happened to catch a thing on television yesterday of a man who lived on an alcoholic drink. And he wouldn't just sip it, he would guzzle it down. Maybe some of you saw that too. But he expressed his feeling that feeling of that alcohol going down through his chest was an exhilarating one. I don't think that's what Jesus means here, or these disciples mean. They were burning all right, but they were burning for another reason. The Apostle Peter called it the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the promise of eternal salvation in heaven. What an exhilarating feeling that is, to know that Jesus' resurrection means a whole new existence for all of us. At the table that evening, Jesus took a piece of bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. St. Luke simply reports, their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, we might say. While their eyes or their chests were burning, their eyes were opening. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while He opened to us the Scriptures? Once more, there's a truth here with a bigger meaning. He opens our eyes not only to kindness, not only to new hope, as Peter would say, but also to a spiritual awakening in the world. That's what Easter's all about. Thousands have come to recognize Jesus as the one name under heaven given among men whereby we have salvation. When a whole church or nation finally recognizes Christ, then they get excited about the meaning and the mission of their lives. And the course of history takes a change for them. And this has been going on for century after century, generation after generation, before you and me. In 1942, some of you will remember, Singapore in southern Malaysia was captured by Japan. Red Cross worker Ethel Mulvaney is one of the captives, and 4,000 others were locked in a Shanghai jail, which could include only 450 prisoners. For 4 years, they suffered crowding and hunger, flies, filth, and isolation in that jail from their families. On the first Easter there, Ethel asked the commandant if they could sing hymns in the courtyard. Why, he asked. Because Christ rose from the dead on Easter morning. No, he shouted. Return to your compound. 12 Easters. 12 Easters, this little dialogue took place. Request was made and refused. One day, there was a surprise announcement. Women prisoners may sing for 5 minutes in courtyard number 1 on Easter morning. For 5 very precious minutes, they sang and praised God for Christ's resurrection, the one hope they could cling to. And silently, they marched back through the doorway. But as Mrs. Mulvaney came through, the guard stepped up, reached under his brown shirt, and he brought out a tiny little orchid. He put it in her hand and said softly to her, "Christ did rise." And then he was gone. Ethel Mulvaney stood there in tears, knowing that she and the others need never again feel forsaken in the Shanghai jail. I cite this little illustration because eyes were opened again by the message of Easter. The risen Christ had been recognized again, even in a jail. Only unbelief and stubborn pride will blind us to His presence. But if we let the scales fall from our eyes and believe that that good news of the resurrection, then we will be able to see down the interstate of life and recognize Him who is our strength, our hope, and our salvation. And that will give us all the reason we need to get excited about believing and singing and telling that Jesus is alive. All the reason you folks here at Our Redeemer Lutheran need to keep enjoying the Easter afterglow at Our Redeemer Lutheran Parish. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the risen Christ. Amen.